Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's good to be here this morning again. Thank you so much for allowing us to come. And I've been in prayer for you all in your church and finding the right man, that God would send that man your way. And we've been praying for you all. I have very much so. And this morning we're going to be over in Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4, and we'll be in a few other places. Turn your Bibles there if you would this morning. But I just want to say thank you for allowing us to come and be with you. We understand you didn't have to have us, but you allowed us to come, and we sure do appreciate you doing that. And, you know, I enjoy getting to preach, and I really do. And, you know, I enjoy eating, but I think I like preaching a little more. And I like listening to it. I like hearing it. I like being around preachers. But, man, I enjoy preaching. I don't ever feel more right than when I'm behind a pulpit. And my daddy, he told me one time, he said that, you know, when you're called to do something, you'll never feel right outside of doing that thing that God's called you to do. And Dad, he's always raised us that he said, son, if God calls you to be if God allows you to be an electrician, you do it as unto the Lord and do it with all of your might. And you do it as if you were doing it for the Lord. Can I say I truly believe that God has called me to preach in spite of who I am, in spite of everything that I've done, in spite of the mistakes that I've made. I praise the Lord that he's a good God. He's not just good, but he's a great God. And that he would use insufficient, oftentimes unreliable people to do his work. I praise the Lord that he's been so good to us and allowing us to be here today, allowing us to be with you good folks here. Amos chapter 4, you there, say amen. Amen. The Bible talks here throughout this chapter. We won't read it all for time's sake. I will not be long this morning. I will do my best to be under a half hour this morning. And I used to be my little sister. I used to be her favorite preacher. And you say, why were you her favorite preacher? I used to preach 17 minutes on the money. And every single time, she didn't like how I preached necessarily. She just liked me because I was short. And 17 minutes. I don't know that we'll get 17 minutes today, but we'll get double that, okay? And a little under double that. But Amos chapter 4, this passage here in Amos chapter 4, there's a familiar theme as we run down through it. For time's sake, I don't know that we'll read the whole thing. Let's start in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth." Would the Lord do that for my children? He said, "In all your cities, and want of bread, and in all your places, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And so that little phrase right there seems to be the theme throughout the passage. He said, "I did this for you," or I whooped the devil out of you, but you would not return to me. He says here in verse 7, "And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered." You say, what is that? Well, that's God's sovereignty. God does what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, without your and my opinion or say-so. He said, "So two or three cities," in verse 8, "so two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've smitten you with the blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palm worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and I have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore," look here, "because they would not return unto the Lord." The Bible says, he said, "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel." Now, we understand in Scripture that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. The whole Bible is not written directly to me. You need to understand that. But the whole Bible is written for me, for our learning, right? That these things in the Old Testament were learning were written for our learning. That if you didn't have an Old Testament, you could not. It would be impossible to have a New Testament. You say, what do you mean? Well, I heard one preacher say, he said a lot of good things started in the Old Testament. You know, breathing started in the Old Testament. I mean, cornbread started in the Old Testament. There was a lot of good things that started in the Old Testament. You understand? You don't have John 3:16 without Moses and the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That without the Old Testament and the pictures and the types throughout the Old Testament, the crossing through the Red Sea, I mean, there's so much in there. But here, he's talking to Israel. Now, you need to understand that we are not spiritual Israel. That I don't believe in that replacement theology that we have somehow replaced Israel. That is just not the case. But we are something totally different here today. That we are a part of a local New Testament, independent, fundamental Baptist church. That we believe the Word of God, the whole book and nothing but the book. That we believe the Bible. That is why I'm a Baptist. That I'm independent, that I owe no allegiance to any man, but my allegiance is to Christ. That I am independent from any denomination, from anything like that. That I am an independent Baptist, and I praise the Lord for that. I am what I am based on what we believe, correct? And as we look here, though, he's not speaking to the church here, but he's speaking to Israel. But as I've already talked about this morning, I believe that inspirationally, we can take this passage of Scripture and drag them parallel to our lives and to some different areas of our life. And the Bible says here, he says, therefore, because this pending judgment that's coming towards Israel, he says, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, notice the goodness of God, that even though he is the one that's going to be judging Israel, can I say that God is the judge, and God is going to judge the quick and the dead, and God will judge his church, and God will judge those that are lost, and God will judge the wicked of this world. We all understand that, correct? Even though God is the judge, he's also the justifier. He's also the redeemer. As a matter of fact, I like that story in the Old Testament about the kinsman redeemer, that he is going to redeem mankind, that he came to, that's why he came to die. But the Bible says that, and because I will do this unto thee, because there's pending judgment coming to you, Israel, he makes this statement, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, I thank you for your word and for your truth. Father, how we need you this morning. Lord, I ask that you would please empty me of sin and self and that you'd fill me with your spirit. God, that you would help me to preach like it's my last time. Lord, that you would please, Lord, that you would use this message. God, may we leave this place changed. Lord, I love you. I thank you for loving us in spite of who we are, in spite of all that we've done. Lord, I ask that you'd please, Lord, that you'd continue to bless this good place. And Lord, that you would please, God, that you would, Lord, that you'd give this place and these people, Lord, every dream that they've ever had that's according to your will. And God, that we'd see great and mighty things, Lord, in this place. God, that we'd see great and mighty things in our families. But God, in our country, Lord, in our counties, in our cities, and in our towns, God, would you please, God Almighty, would you send revival? Lord, would you send another great awakening? But Father, an awakening, Lord, to your truth. Lord, may the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, awake out of our sleep, Lord, out of our slumber. And Father, may we get ready, may we get prepared to meet you one of these days. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for your soon return. Lord, I believe that you're coming back, Lord, and coming back very quickly. Lord, I ask that, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be the kind of Christians that we ought to be when you return. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us, for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for our sin. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to start this message by saying this, that there are two ways that you'll go to meet God. That there are only two ways you'll go. Whether by death or by the rapture. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Me and my son were talking in the car with my wife. We were talking in the car with our son yesterday on the way home. And he asked the question. He said, he asked his mother first, and then she wanted me to answer it. And he asked the question. He said, you know, so if Eve ate the fruit first, then wasn't it Eve's fault as to why we're all, you know, bound for a devil's hell and why we were separated from God? You know, he's just wondering in his mind. When you look at the story, it don't make sense that it was Adam's fault. I mean, Eve took the fruit first. But as I begin to explain the story, that in Scripture, the Bible says that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I believe that there is great parallel and a great picture there. We understand that Adam was the first Adam. There's a second Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, correct? And that second Adam, the first Adam chose a tree, the second Adam chose the tree. That there's a lot of really interesting parallel there. I think that God planned that on purpose. But there, not only that, but I believe also that God has made the husband the head of the home. And that I, as a husband, am going to answer for my family, that my wife, she'll answer to God for herself and the way that she lived her life. I believe that for the things that she's done in this body, as we'll see later on here. But I believe that as a father, I'm going to stand before God for my family. I'm going to. And I believe that the responsibility, even though he didn't partake of it first, and I believe that the reason he took that fruit was, you know, because there would have been a separation between man and woman if Adam doesn't take that fruit. I don't know that there wouldn't have been. I truly believe that they would have fallen anyway had he have never partaken of that fruit, because he was responsible for Eve. That he was the head of the home. Either way, it doesn't matter. But as we were talking about that, there's a reason for death. That wherefore as by one man's sin, Adam, entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So as we would look at children, and we would ask them the simple question in Sunday school, why are you a sinner? Is it based on the way you live or what you've done? Well, yeah. The sin that I commit makes me a sinner, but what will send you to hell? It's the sin of one man. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So understanding that we are all sinners, not even based upon the sin that we've committed. If that was all that we ever had, that would be enough. But based solely on the sin of one man, right? That's hard to get some people to comprehend, to understand that you're not going to go to hell because you're a horrible person or because you do bad things. You're going to go to hell because of the sin of one man, because of Adam's sin. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so that death passed upon how many men? All men, for that all have sinned. And so we understand that you will go to meet God, whether by death. In Hebrews 9:27, he said, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You go by death or you'll go by the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, much of what I have done as a soul winner, you say, what's a soul winner? Well, it's somebody that takes the gospel, okay? A missionary is a soul winner. I believe that a preacher ought to be a soul winner. You say, what's a soul winner? Somebody that takes the gospel to lost people and shares the gospel with them. You understand that was God's commission to the church? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. There was quite a few different times that the Lord Jesus Christ, in different ways, said, go, take the gospel, and get going. As a matter of fact, he was so willing to get the gospel to a lost world that he was willing to send persecution to the church in Jerusalem. They wouldn't get out and go. God said, go into all the world, to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, and they just wouldn't do it. So God said, here's what we're going to do. He sent great persecution, and they scattered abroad. You know where they went? To Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because God, the reason Christ came to die was so that we might live. And not just us. The Bible says he died not for our sins only, but for the sin of the whole world. And so as we look at this scripture, that we're going to go by death or by the rapture, but we're going to do one thing. We're going to meet God. And he tells the Israelites here that there's pending judgment. Prepare to meet thy God. You know, so often, what I found myself doing in soul winning and trying to share the gospel with someone, I'll come to them and I'll say, man, do you know that you're saved?
got enough light to go looking for it, and to go looking for the Lord. And I'll think of John 14, it says, believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house, and in mansion. We'll talk about heaven and the beauty of heaven, how wonderful heaven is. Well, don't you want to go there? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? I mean, have you ever heard someone use the illustration? I've used it before. It's a good illustration. That, you know, have you ever burned your hand when you were a kid on the stove? Oh, yeah, I burned my hand. I mean, your mom said, don't touch that stove. And you touch that stove, and you burnt your hand. You remember how that felt? Well, I mean, could you imagine it 10,000 times hotter than that? And filling the flames of hell. And you know, I believe in preaching on hell. I believe in that. I think that we're missing a lot of that in our churches today. Some are saved, so up yet, so out by fire. Like, I understand that preaching on hell is important. But so much of my preaching and so much of my soul winning has been surrounded with, are you prepared to go to heaven? Are you prepared to not go to hell? Are we populating heaven? Are we depopulating hell? That seems to be the driving force behind a lot of the parents today. And, man, I need to make sure my kids are saved. Why? So they don't go to hell. See, but I think that there's something a lot worse that's going to happen when we get to that place. That before, actually, the Bible says that the rich man, he lifted up his eyes, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, right? He went straight to hell. The Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We understand that. But there's another judgment that's going to come where we're all going to stand before God. The Bible says there in Revelation, I think it's 20 or 19, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life, and they were judged every man according to their works. And so we're judged according to our works. The Bible says that in death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life. And I truly believe that what we will see at that judgment, and it is, we will understand and we will know for the first time ever, I truly believe, the fear of God. I believe what the church is missing today is a good dose of the fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. But the fear of the Lord is a proper and decent and right thing within the church and amongst lost people as well. You know, fear causes us to do a lot of things. But I think that there's more than just a scared fear, like God can crush us at any time, which he definitely could. But I think it's a fear like a fear between a father and a son. Like, I don't want to disappoint my father. I don't want to disappoint my daddy. The fear of failure in that way. But the Lord, he says here to Israel, he doesn't say prepare to go to heaven. He doesn't say prepare for judgment, but he says prepare to meet thy God. What's he saying there? He's saying one of these days, you are going to stand before a thrice holy God and give an account for the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. So you ought to think about the way that you're living. You ought to think about the choices that you're making, right? If we really understood or thought that we were going to stand before God one of these days, don't you think that we would live differently? If we really understood who God is and what God looks like and the sight that we're going to behold when we see him, that his face shines as the sun, that his eyes are as a flame of fire, that, I mean the majesty, but also the fear that he produces. I mean, the Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the same God that you're going to stand before. I mean, the same God that spoke everything into existence. I mean, he's not some kind of illusionist where he takes something in one hand and deceives you with the other. But he steps out where there is nothing, where there's no such thing as anything, and he creates everything. I mean, that God is the God that we're going to stand before. The God that's going to deal with hell and Satan and the false prophet and all those wickedness of this world. God is going to deal with all of that. That is the same God that's going to deal with you and I. And so as we're looking at this passage this morning, I don't want you to think, you know, am I prepared to go to heaven one of these days? Man, I can't wait to go to heaven. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like this. I mean, if every time we cast our bass pole into the crystal sea, if we're going to pull out like some 50-pound largemouth bass, if that's what's going to happen,
I don't know. But, you know, or if we're going to get, you know, our personal best every time we go deer hunting in the new earth. I don't know how all of that's going to work out, but I do know this. One of these days, we are going to stand before the Lord. And the question that God has for us this morning is not are you prepared to go to heaven? Not are you not prepared to go to hell? Are you prepared to stand before God? Are you prepared to stand before the Lord? In Matthew chapter number 24, turn there with me if you would. Matthew chapter 24, we already talked about how that there are two ways that you will go to meet the Lord. The Bible says about the rapture there in Matthew chapter 24. The Bible says, in verse 37, Matthew 24, 37, you there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I like how your King James Bible capitalizes that S-O-N there, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came. Notice there, they knew not. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not the what hour your Lord doth come. Look over there with me in chapter 25. The Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Notice the distinction here immediately. The separation between these 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps. The Bible says, and took no oil with them. Oil, for us, being a picture and type of the Spirit of God. You understand that the Bible says the day that you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in you. He quickened you, made you alive, made you a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Spirit of God also seals us into the day of redemption. He plays a huge part in our salvation. But as we look here, he said, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5, the Bible says, while the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, notice, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So you understand that death is sure, right? That we're going to go by death or we're going to go by the rapture. And the Bible says that the day or the hour no man knoweth. Okay? The Bible says about those on in Noah's day, he said that they knew not until the flood came, but they that were ready, right? He says about these 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Why were the 5 foolish? The Bible says because they took no oil in their lamps. They all looked the same on the outside. They all were clean and white on the outside. They all had their garments unspotted on the outside. But 5 inwardly, right? They had no oil. They had no Spirit of God in their vessel. You know, I believe one of them, the great Baptist distinctives, that we believe in the indwelling of the Spirit of God. That the day you get saved, the Spirit of God moves in you. He quickens you, makes you alive, makes you a new creature. He's there to guide us into all truth. But the foolish are not so. I believe that there's a lot of foolish in churches today. That they have a form of godliness. That they look the part. That they're like those foolish virgins. That they're like those folks that heard preaching for over 100 and something years, 110, 120 years from Noah as he was building that ark. It's going to rain. It going to rain. We ain't never seen rain. Well, it's coming. God said there's pending judgment. But have you ever thought about this too? God gave them like over 100 years of preaching. over, you talk about grace and mercy. God gave them long-suffering over 100-something years of a man of God preaching, judgment is coming to the entire earth. But then, you know, can I say, I've never seen heaven and I've never seen hell. But according to the preacher, according to the word of God, according to the scriptures, listen, judgment is coming. Death is coming. I mean, the rapture is coming. And I say, even so, Lord, come quickly. But there are only two ways that we will go to meet God. But can I say, we ought to not just prepare to go to heaven, not just try to get out of hell, but are you prepared to meet the Lord for your salvation? But then secondly, for the church, are we prepared to meet the Lord, church? Not are you prepared to enjoy the wonders of heaven, are you prepared to meet God? You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible talks about in Hebrews, he says, fail not to assemble yourselves in the house of God. No much more as you see the day approaching. God says, I can imagine the Lord saying, Jake, I put you in a wonderful church. Jake, I saved almost your entire family. Jake, both your grandfathers on either side were independent fundamental Baptist preachers. Both preached from the same book all their life. Both were having amazing testimonies. Jake, I've given you a daddy who's a preacher, and he thunders from the pulpit there in Alaska and has preached my word most of his life. And Jake, I saved your brother, and he's a preacher. And I saved your sisters, and they work in the ministry there in the church in Alaska. And I gave you a good wife, and I gave you healthy children, and I blessed you so much, Jake. Why could you not give me your life? What reason is it that you had? What excuse do you have to give to me as to why you could not serve me, or as to why you could not go, or as to why you could not share the gospel with somebody while you lived? What, I gave you nothing but blessing your entire life. And what is it? What is it that when we stand before God that we're going to hear? Because you understand that we're not just preparing to go to that city beyond the blue. We're not just preparing to get a mansion over the hilltop. We are preparing to meet the God of heaven. We're preparing to meet the God in whom held all the water in the palm of his hands. That's amazing to me. I say it a lot, but I mean, if you think about that for just a second, held all of the water in one hand. I mean, he could crush us at any moment if he desired to. I mean, the earth is his footstool. He is the creator of everything. He is the lover, listen, of our soul. Listen, he died so that we might live. He became poor that we might be made rich. Yet, listen, so many people that have been blessed beyond measure, that have had it entirely way too good, that have been blessed by God, it seems as though we could care less. Care less about the lost. Care less about the church. Care less about the state of the church, the state of our country, the state of our homes. Listen, it seems as though we could care less. Listen, when the truth of the matter is, we ought to care. You say, Brother Jake, why should we care this morning? We ought to care. Listen, not just because the state of our country or the state of our homes or the state of our churches, but because the state, listen, of ourselves and the fact that we are going to stand before God and give an account. There ought to be a fear of God that comes over the people of God, like it used to back in the days of old. No great orator had to get up and thunder from the pulpit. They would very simply, they would read from the scriptures, and the people of God would fall to their face. Listen, because the fear of God would come over them all. Listen, I can't tell you the stories that I've read of revival of yesteryear and the stories of the fear of God sweeping across places like England. And y'all remember those? I don't know if you've ever read any of those stories. I can remember reading one in Bible college. It was a story about a young girl there in England. And she was concerned about her friends going to a dance or something like that. And she went and she prayed for them at the church. But then they said that the fear of God came and it sat on that place. And the people that were at that dance, those teenagers and those people, that the fear of God fell on those people. That one young girl that was praying for her friends, that was praying for her peers there at school. And she, as she was praying, the fear of God fell on them. And they all, you know where they ran? They all ran to the church. And they said by the end of that thing, there were some 5,000 people outside. I mean, could you imagine 5,000 people laying outside of the walls of this church and in this church just packed to the brim. You say, what happened? People understood the fear of God for just a little while. You know, I think it's interesting. In God's judgment, what is the purpose of God's judgment? The purpose of God's judgment is to draw them back to himself. He tells them here, there in Amos chapter 4, he said, I slain some of your young men, yet you wouldn't return to me. I mean, I made it stink. It came up in your nostrils and it stunk to high heaven, but yet you would not return to me. He said, I made it to rain upon one place, but not to rain upon your fields, or to rain upon your fields. You know, you've seen my sovereignty, you've seen my power, yet you would not return to me. I wonder, church, what it would take for the church to stop, running in the traditions and rudiments of men and to return back to the Lord Jesus Christ. To return back to, listen, we don't do what we do based upon what brother so-and-so says or doctor so-and-so says. We base what we believe upon the word of God. For salvation, for just good old-fashioned Christian living, we base what we do, we base what we believe upon the word of God. I wonder, when will we return to the Lord again? When will we return to the scripture again? When will we return to the prayer closet again? I believe that we will return to all of those things when we get a fresh view of the Lord, a fear of the Father, a fear of our God. You know, there are many stories that we could read. Let's go to one place, and this was not most of this message I didn't have in mind for this morning, but the Lord was really taking it this direction. Isaiah chapter 6, go there with me if you would. Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll be done here shortly. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, prophet of God, man of God, he says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw also the Lord. Can I say what the church needs to see? They need to also, okay? I know that we have troubles and trials and tribulation that we go through, but we need to also see the Lord. Isaiah said, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with 20 covered his face, and with 20 covered his feet, and with 20 did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house is full of smoke. So he sees the Lord high and lifted up. We get to verse 5. He said, Then said I, Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You say, what did Isaiah get to? He got to a place where he got God in the right view, and it put himself in the right view. You know, I truly believe that if we ever got back to the right view of the Lord, we ought to prepare to meet the Lord. One of these days, not just to prepare to go to heaven, not just to prepare to not go to hell, but are you prepared to meet thy God? We see the need to prepare in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We see sin's penalty in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We see a Savior's provision in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, what a verse. And then we see there's your response. There's my response. I heard a preacher say one time, he said that my responsibility, okay, is my response, right? My response is my responsibility. In Romans 10:9, he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Romans 1:16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, we know that salvation was good enough for us. I sure think salvation is good enough for my children. I wonder, church, is salvation good enough for our coworkers? Is it good enough for our friends, for our family? Are we prepared to meet the Lord? As a church, are we prepared to meet the Lord? As fathers, as grandparents, as Americans, God has blessed us. And he says, but you won't return. I've sent crazy things to your country.
I sent wars. You wouldn't return me. I sent riots. You wouldn't return me. You honestly think that this pestilence of COVID-19 is not the judgment of God? I mean, all the things that have been going on, if we're sleeping if we're not seeing it. God is trying to get his church to a place. You don't appreciate coming to church, here's what I'll do. I'll put people in place that won't allow you to do so. And what's supposed to be a free country, one nation under God, I mean, a nation unlike any other nation in history, and, you know, just that quick, churches in California can't even go to church. They're fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. Good independent Baptist churches that are trying to serve the Lord, yet, you wouldn't return to me. I wonder what it would take for the church to return to the Lord. You know, I don't ever want to have God remind me how much I need him. I want to need him all the time. I want to walk with him all the time. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to meet him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's all stand to our feet. As a piano player comes, begins to play a song of invitation. I wonder if there's one that would say, Brother Jake, if I died today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Brother Jake, as you were preaching, the Spirit of God began to convict me through the Word of God that if I died today, I'm not prepared to meet the Lord. Listen, I'm sure you're great people. I'm sure you're the cream of the crop. I'm sure you're wonderful people. I'm not asking if you're good people. I'm asking, are you saved? Has there ever been a day in your life when you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Believed in your heart that God raised him, who Jesus Christ, from the dead? God said, you do that, you're saved. You know that thief on the cross? He didn't have time to get off the cross and go get baptized. He didn't have time to get off the cross and to go do a bunch of good works. But the Lord said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. What happened? He repented. He turned, just very simply, turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, remember me. What kind of sinner's prayer did he pray? Remember me. God says that we don't come in a big theological faith. We come in a child-like faith to him for salvation. It's amazing that a God as big and as smart and as powerful as he is, he would make it so easy that the littlest child could understand it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Man, we have a lot of reason to fear the Lord, but we have more reason to love him. We love him because he first loved us. What page are we going to sing there?